Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sir Thomas Burton said, "You know the value of prayer. It is precious beyond all price. Never, never neglect it." We began this morning in prayer, O God, and ask that we each live our prayers before you so that all that we say and do are reflections of what you are to us. Give us patience with one another and the rough and tumble of life, so we may realize that life's difficulties help smooth our roughest places, and we become all you have created us to be. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Lawrence. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Secretary, read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session.
Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, I move further reading of the journal be dispensed with and the same be approved as though having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are the opinion as shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Senator?
Mr. President, photographers from the University of Central Missouri have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Very good, Senator. Petitions, memorials, introductions of guests. Senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. My most important constituent is visiting me today. She's on the couch over here, and I hope the Senate will make her feel welcome.
Let's welcome the most important constituent, the wife of the Senator from Buchanan. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, introduction of very special guests today. I have the leadership Phelps County Group present today. They're going to be out in the Capitol Rotunda. This is Rala Day at the Capitol. This group is a very active leadership group in our area, and we're very proud to have them up visiting. Please make them feel welcome. Thank you.
Let's welcome all the guests of the Senate. Please rise for recognition by the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some special guests here today. They are Haley Tyrrell and Maddie Seiler, and they are pages for the day. I would ask that they be pages without compensation. They are here with Haley's mom, Eileen. You want to raise your hand, Eileen, bringing them here today, and I ask that the body make them welcome.
The young people will be made pages. Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from the 7th. Further introductions? Senator from 24th.
Yeah, I'd like to introduce Kristen Piontek, my legislative assistant this session. She's over here on the left. Kristen is a St. Louis native, graduate from Corazon Academy in St. Louis. She's studying at the University of Missouri in Columbia. She'll be graduating this May. She's studying journalism and political science. Big aid to me and my staff, and I'd like the Senate to welcome her here.
Let's
today.
Welcome the guest of the Senator from 24th to the Missouri Senate. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions, concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd, I don't see at his desk. Where is the senator from the 23rd? For the order of business, sir. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate Bills for Perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 188.
Senate Bills for Perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 188. Senator from Andrew. Senator from Andrew, the senator from the 10th has the pending amendment and will need to be heard from. The senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move that Senate Bill 188 with the amendment pending be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body with the amendment of the senator from 10th pending.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, I'd like to stand at ease for just a moment.
Hearing no objection, the Senate shall stand at ease. From Atchison. All right. The Senate shall come back to order. The senator from Atchison.
Thank you, Mr. President. If you'd put Senate Bill 188 back on the informal calendar, thank you.
The bill shall be laid on the informal calendar. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'll stay on that calendar. Senate Bill 243.
Senate Bill 243. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that we bring up 243 to the floor.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 7th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. The bill is before the body.
Mr. President, I now move that the Senate Bill 243 be declared perfected and ordered printed. We were in the middle of an amendment when we left this off.
Senator, we are on the bill.
All right.
Your bill.
This is the bill that is sharing services between political subdivisions, school districts, so they can share efficiencies and save money. And we were in the middle of an amendment that had to do with making sure that contracts are presently in place get to stay in place when this goes into effect.
You've heard the adoption motion. The perfection motion of the senator from the 7th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 14th, for what reason to seek recognition?
Of the senator from
senator
the
from the 7th, you yield.
I do.
She does. Proceed.
Senator, it's been a long 12 hours since the last time we met. And I know that you and I were talking about contracts and some issues that could be faced within subdivisions. Now, I remember we worked on a second amendment.
Yes.
And that is not the amendment that currently is before this body.
Right. Did you distribute the second one that we agreed to?
You know what? I don't know if it was distributed.
Okay. That needs to be probably while we're talking.
It was not distributed. I was going to offer that amendment.
Okay.
This is the old one.
All right. 08S is the amendment, the final amendment, right?
Yes.
Okay, we need to get that distributed.
Okay.
Because we cannot adopt it until it's distributed.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward.
It has not been distributed.
Are you asking for a waiver of the reading, Senator?
I ask that the amendment be read.
The amendment shall be read. She asked for to be read. Senator, are you requesting a waiver of the reading?
I ask that this amendment be distributed and read.
It shall be distributed, and without objection, the waiver, we shall waive the reading of the amendment.
I will not close on the amendment until this amendment has been distributed to the body. So, Mr. President, yesterday the lady and I from, or the senator and I from the 7th were talking about the last section of this bill and found that there were some conflicts because if there were any current contracts that any subdivision had in place, that the current language in the bill would actually be a problem because it could cause some lawsuits. For example, if there were any contracts with janitorial services or contracts with teachers or contracts with food services, this language that was currently in the bill would not give an opportunity for that contract to be fulfilled. Because of that, any of those entities would have a right to sue the subdivision. There are some other concerns whenever there's a bond that is issued or a tax increase dealing with the subdivision. And there are two entities that are working together. An individual from either one of those entities could also sue too. So I just wanted to make sure that we would not have any of these problems. The senator and I from the 7th talked about how we can better this bill and help it to pass without any problems. And I move for the adoption of this amendment.
The senator from the 14th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment 2. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to thank the senator from University City. She has improved this bill, and I urge people to vote yes on her amendment.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 2 offered by the senator from the 14th? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The senator from the 14th moves for the adoption of Senate Bill, or the Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Bill 243. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment is adopted. The senator from the 7th.
Mr. President, if there are no other questions or inquiries, I renew my motion.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 243? The senator from the 5th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Just to inquire briefly of the maker of the bill.
The senator from the 7th, you yield.
I do.
She does proceed.
Senator, when we were in committee on this bill, the one question I had, and I know you took it under consideration, was what would the liability be for either district in any of these melding of services if something should occur on the property of one or the other? Would the whole entity then be liable for any type of litigation?
I think that the districts themselves, I didn't go that deep into the weeds on this because I wanted to leave it up to the agreement between the entities. And so it's up to them how they agree to do that in their contract agreement, whatever.
So you're comfortable they would address that in
yes.
whatever contract they would come together with?
Yes, and I wanted to leave it up to them.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 243? The senator from Jefferson, for what reason do you seek recognition?
First, I'd like to point out how lovely the Secretary of the Senate looks today, and I'd like to inquire the sponsor of the bill.
Senator from the 7th, you yield.
Only if he says how lovely I look today, too.
I would like to inquire of the lovely senator.
All right, now I will allow
She yields. Proceed.
Senator, in committee, we heard some testimony from a gentleman that actually did this in a particular city. I gave an example of Jefferson College, the city of Arnold, the rec center, and the library all going in on a collaborative effort to do a development in Jefferson County. I'm wondering, it seems like current law already allows this. Mm-hmm. Are we expanding on what they can already do to include school districts? Because I know all those public bodies, they're all taxing entities, were allowed to.
Right. Some of this they are allowed to do now, but a lot of it is thinking out of the box that people haven't done, so it's taking the ideas from people like in your district and people like in mine. This is a way to spread those ideas around the state to give them, you know, ideas that they can do themselves. But it also has some portions in here that are now legal barriers to doing what they want to do and need to do to save money and not to duplicate efforts, and so we're removing those barriers.
I like what you're doing, and you do look lovely this morning. Thank
you're
you, Mr. President.
My good graces.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the senator from the 7th motion? Hearing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
I renew my motion, Mr. President.
The senator from the 7th renews her motion that Senate Bill 243 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. With that objection, Senate will go to the order, or we'll stay on that order of business, Senate Bill 133.
Senate Bill 133, the senator from the 2nd.
Unlike the senator from Andrew, I'm ready for work, and I'd like to call Senate Bill 133 before the body.
You've heard the motion from the senator, the senior senator from St. Charles. All those of the opinion of that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 133 be adopted. What this bill is, Mr. President, it deals with the design build legislation that we had passed in previous sessions. We had allowed for highway construction for them, MoDOT, to go into a design build contract up to 2% of the contract statewide. This is a way to save the taxpayers money by designing it and building it on the fly. You don't have as many change orders. We did this especially to get some projects going for the federal money that was coming in. We had an expiration of 2012 on that, and we wanted to extend that to 2018. On large construction projects, this saves the state and the taxpayers millions of dollars. And then we also wanted to make sure we included the possibility of, if we were to build a new bridge over a US 4061 I-64, that could be included as well. Doesn't mean it has to be, but it just gives MoDOT the option to do that because funding for that might not be in that same time frame. That's all the bill does. Glad to answer any questions. If not, I renew my motion.
The senator from the 2nd has moved for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that adoption motion? The senator from the 11th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the senior senator from St. Charles?
The senior senator from St. Charles, you yield.
I yield, Mr.
He does. Proceed, Senator.
Senator, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was just curious, as you know, in the past I've been supportive of this. Do you know how many projects that they've done that MoDOT has engaged on this?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. I do know they did the redesign of I-64 in St. Louis was one that saved millions of dollars. Maybe some of the 800 bridge program might be included in that, but off the top of my head, I don't know exactly how many times they've used it. I think there was three slated, because beforehand we had allowed them to do three as a pilot. One was the 800 bridge, one was the I-64, and the third was, I think, the Kansas City Paseo.
Right.
Something over here. I think those were the three that they have done. I don't know what they've entered into since then.
Okay. And does this affect the This in no way affects the ability of contractors to bid in any way, right?
No, not at all. And it just, it's the same thing we passed. It's limited it to 2% of the total number of all state highway system projects, and we're just extending that out to 2018.
So the 2% is, you're extending the date, but if this actually is so effective, I mean, have you, has MoDOT come forward and said, well, why don't we do it on 20%? Why don't we do it on 50%?
Well, I mean, most of the projects are smaller in nature that MoDOT's do. I mean, the design build, you get your cost savings on a large project, a bridge, a redesigning a giant section of a highway. So the number of projects that they would use would be small in any way, just because you don't use it on a smaller type of a project that only costs $1 million or two. And so they don't think that they would need to expand the 2% now at this time, because the number of projects and the funding for those types of large projects is really not there.
Okay, and you referred to the federal money that was part in 2009 when you passed this initially, I think in 2009. Where are we at with that? Is that, do you know if that's all gone, or
I think that's been allocated.
All been spent?
Yeah, it's allocated. It's because it had to be shovel ready. You had to get it into the project and out the door. That's already been all allocated, and those projects have been funded. So this is really moving the date for any future projects. If they were to renew the safety lieu, and if we had any other federal dollars, or if we did anything on transportation here in the state.
And we're doing like 500 bridges, and they're, what, about three-quarters of the way done with those, or halfway done,
I'm
or
not
something like that?
Familiar how far, but I know that that project is already underway, and they've completed some, and they're continuing working.
Okay, well, thank you, Senator.
No, appreciate it.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption of the committee substitute? The senator from Johnson, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. With unanimous consent, I'd like to introduce a special guest.
Hearing no objections, Senator, proceed.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have a very special guest to the Senate, and he's received not only statewide recognition but national recognition. He's a quarterback from the University of Central Missouri in Warrensburg. I think all of us are very much familiar with the Heisman Award that's given to a Division I player. This individual, Eric Chernesky, was the winner of the Harlan Hill Award, which is the equivalent of the Heisman Award on Division II. He's a great athlete and a great student, and would like to give him recognition. I don't think, Mr. President, can I use a prop? Okay. Anyway, he represents...
Senator, there are no props in the Missouri Senate. Please.
All right. At this time, what I'd like to do is the senator from Phelps County actually has the recipient in his home district from Montgomery City. And at this time, we'd like to present a Senate resolution to Eric Chernesky. He's the very first Missourian to win this award. The first MIAA player from 1998 to win this award. This past year, he led the nation in passing, 5,200 yards, 46 touchdown passes. He broke 20 school records and was just an outstanding athlete for the University of Central Missouri. He is joined here today by his coach, Coach Jim Savoda, who's had a great year as his first year at the University of Central. His in-laws are here as well. And the voice of the Mules and Jenny, Sean Jones, is also here today. To present this resolution to Eric Chernesky, the winner of the Harlan Hill Award. Great honor for him and for the state.
Let's make this great student athlete in the state of Missouri and his friends and coaches feel welcome here in the Missouri Senate today.
Thank you.
We are back on the Senate, the adoption motion for the committee substitute. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from the 13th, for what reason do you seek recognition?
To inquire the senator from the 2nd.
Senator from the 2nd, I yield. He does proceed.
I agree with your bill. I just have not received any information of future projects MoDOT is looking to do due to the dollar amounts of all the bonds that were written. We're pretty much going to start paying on them continuously. I think we're going down to about $700 million a year, but that's all maintenance and repair, as opposed to about $1.5 billion. Is there any projects that you're aware of, are they doing this extension in hopes of sometime in the future, if there is new money, they can go about this process?
Yeah, we're extending it in case, you know, there's another transportation windfall to come to the state, or if we were to do something, but I don't think there's any plans of right now charging ahead and building any large projects.
With term limits and people coming and going, here's the opportune time to continue a program that's already in operation, I take it. That's all I wanted to ask. Thank you, Senator.
Any other senators heard? The senator from Cape Girardeau, for what reason you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from Second.
Senator from Second, do you yield? He does proceed.
Thanks for yielding, Senator, and I apologize. I heard the debate on this and didn't know we were going to get to this. What bill number is this?
133 deals with the design build.
Right, 133. I saw this coming through, and you and I have conversations on this every year you extend this. It seems it's habitual. Where it comes, my concerns, as always, are we have an allocation process by which the Transportation Commission allocates very, very limited and even getting more limited resources for transportation according to a matrix, a distribution matrix, and where they're at. When we start allowing design build to go outside of that matrix, those more limited resources end up being taken out of there because you get to leapfrog over the design phase. Because the way that we fund these is we fund the design and then you fund the project. So as we put out 5-year STIPs now on everything else, what occurs is these design build projects leapfrog over other projects that have basically been there. I mean, you would agree that that's what happens when this
occurs. Yeah, we've had those conversations in the past, and that's, you know, why we limited it to 2%, and you know, if there's dollar amounts there to do it, it does save the taxpayers' monies, but I understand the concern of if you have smaller projects and they I understand your concern.
Yeah, I'm tired of seeing all our money go to St. Charles for all of these projects, and I know it works out real well for you when these design build projects move forward, but because you don't have any in the hopper, we don't even know what this is going to be. If your legislation is allowed to move forward, I don't know what's being leapfrogged for what. In your previous examples, when we have done all of this, we've been able to have an idea. Okay, this is what we're getting. This is the direction that we're going to end up going. And we're able to make a cost-benefit analysis of those limited resources being reallocated from other areas across the state. Here, if this goes forward, we don't know what's in the hopper. You've even said.
We know what kind of project we want, but all the programs are on the STIP. They're all in the plan, the 5-year, the 10-year plan, and they're just sitting there, you know, when funding comes available. So it's not like a new project pops up and it falls out of thin air. It's part of MoDOT's, you know, long-range plan in the next several years of when they have money. So it's all plans that are there, so you know what projects are sitting out there, what could possibly be used for design build. It's large enough in scope. And then that's just up to the commission of whether or not how they want to allocate the funds. But what we're doing here is just providing them that tool that says, hey, you can, if you're going to build this project, save the taxpayers money in the process by doing a design build.
But we don't know what that project is. In the past, you've been able to identify what that project is going to be. Here, we don't know what project we're identifying. We're given ultimate flexibility, not knowing what they're going to do with that flexibility.
If you go and you look at the projects that are in the long-range plan, it's pretty I think you can make a general assumption of which ones could potentially go design-build due to the large scope of the project.
But we also know that within the design-build deal, a project that's not even in there could leapfrog forward. Ergo, the St. Louis Cardinal reroute of 40. Which leapfrogged everything. And somehow, to match the tax credits that were going to fund the new stadium, that became the most important highway construction project that the state had ever seen. I have never, ever seen the state of Missouri move so quickly from no one even knew what was going to happen over there to all of a sudden, this is the greatest need in the entire state of Missouri. And without going through those phases.
But that was not in the St. Charles County area.
It was not in the St. Charles County area, so I'm protecting you at this point. Because, you know, that was another deal where then in my area, we were told, you know, listen, we hear you outstate people. We hear you in Southeast Missouri, and you were in the allocation distribution, but you don't understand. This is the St. Louis Cardinals. This is for their stadium. You need to put your projects on the back burner. So that started a new development where then in outstate Missouri for Highway 67, they passed a local tax, much like they did You know, and these are rehashing arguments that are going to be interesting because they'll never be talked about in the era of term limits. Because you and I have been here, you know, a decade, and we know the institutional history of how Kirksville was the first one to go in with Koch Industries and say, you know what, we're going to pass a local tax to be able to get all of this done. We want to move forward. Then Southeast Missouri for 67 did that because we were tired of getting leapfrogged over for projects like that. And it was a motivating factor that moved the community forward to pass that local highway assessment.
And we did the same in St. Charles County.
Right.
I think the last project, we're dumping in $30 million of our own money to try to get the things moving forward. So again, this allows that project to be out there, that ability to have these types of projects.
I understand, but it also allows you to leapfrog to the front of the line when these design builds, whether they're in the hopper now or they just magically appear like the St. Louis Cardinals magically appeared one day. And despite, I mean, there were no traffic studies. There were no measurements of deaths. There was no measurements of accidents. It just magically appeared with no analysis as everyone else waited patiently in line to meet these criterias of accidents, economic development associated with all of that stuff. So, you know, as members particularly that represent outstate Missouri are here, I think it's important that they know that these design builds can conceivably jump to the front of the line when we allow them to move forward instead of we're told.
And what they can also do is when there's a project that is out there and that's on the plan, the one that is ready to be funded, it can save the taxpayers $20 million that can then go and build
other
projects.
Totally agree, Senator. But what's different from when we extended it, we don't know what project you're talking about now. In the past, when you've come here, you knew exactly what project you were doing. And you could represent to us, hey, this is why we're doing this. Number one, it was for a specific project. Number two, it was to accelerate the federal drawdowns for the federal highway dollars to get all of that. Now it's just, we're putting it on the books and we're going to see what happens. That's where it gets more leap of faith-ish, to create a word that I think everyone needs to have an understanding that without that cost-benefit analysis, we really don't know what we're trading off here. Whereas in the past, ultimately, after we've worked together and we've gotten answers to those questions, we've moved forward with more perfect information. And I would just think to our colleagues, if we do move forward with this legislation, that they need to understand there are positives and there are negatives. There are trade-offs in doing all of this, and I think you would concede that. It's just this time, we don't know specifically what that positive is going to be relative to what the rest of us are going to have to give up if this ends up leapfrogging through the allocation grid, the STIP plans that the Highway Department does. I mean, you would agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I would agree that the amount of money that could be saved is always out there. So when you look at it, you're going to have to weigh a possibility of your scenario of one small project maybe not getting funded right away because of a large project coming through. But we can always look at the cost savings coming in from design build. So we know that it is a saving to the taxpayer. And I can't predict the future, and neither can you, and we don't know what the commission's going to do. And I think one of our colleagues was a member of that and maybe would shed some light on that. But
sure.
But I think when we look at from
well, they're not going to build anything new. They're going to pay off those bonds.
Yeah, well,
that's true. Everyone would agree with that.
But if money were to be coming available and for some reason we could embark on building and strengthening our highway infrastructure, that this is a proven tool that has been used before with huge success in saving the taxpayers money, and we should have that for the ability. And we can go to the commission and we can argue for, you know, the 3rd district or the 5th district or the 7th district of MoDOT and what projects should be included, but without having this as a tool and an ability to save the taxpayers money, then those conversations wouldn't even happen.
I understand, but like I said, this is the first time we don't have more perfect information. And this is actually really the first time that we're going from, what, 6 years? You're going from 12 to 18 as it relates to this. So, I mean, clearly, this is even beyond and allowing beyond the five-year STIP plan.
When they typically do the, I think, what, the safety lieu, you know, the federal authorization bill, it's typically like
there hasn't been a federal authorization.
Right, but they just keep extending it and extending it. They're going to have to eventually renew it, whatever it looks like, but they usually do that for 6 years.
So you know, the last Congress never passed a budget. Never once brought up a budget bill. So I understand. I mean, maybe this Congress will bring up a budget bill, but it looks like they're going down the route of these continuing resolutions.
Well, they might be shutting down the government,
the federal
government on Friday, so you know they won't be doing anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I hear you. I just, you know, I would implore to all of our colleagues that when we make these decisions, when you write more or less a six-year utilization of this program, you're going to have no opportunity as a General Assembly at that point to sit down with MoDOT, to sit down and say, how are you making these decisions? What is this project costing relative to this project? This part of the state versus that part of the state. Every other time that we've done this, Senator, you and I have had that conversation. And whether it was when you were sitting over there and I was sitting over there, or you were sitting over there and I was sitting, you know, here now, we've been able to do that. But we can't do that this time.
Well, I mean, you also have the advice and the consent of those that are going on the commission, and you have the ability to talk to those that are on the commission and lobby your concerns and speak with them, because they're the ones that kind of are approving a lot of this. So I think we do have input, and I encourage our colleagues to listen to your commentary and take into consideration. And I also would encourage them that is something that they need to be engaged with the commissioners and with MoDOT. But moving forward, we should extend this because it does save the taxpayers millions of dollars. It's proven. And, you know, we will have input via the various commissioners when we go forward, and if there is money to do these projects.
Well, I think I have more input as a senator than I ever have as just trying to pick up the phone and talk to a MoDOT commissioner. You know, and we got politics out of transportation funding in this state, and we did a very, very good job of doing that. Their budget, they are a standalone entity. They are, in essence, a separate wing of government. So to say, go ahead and do all of this and rely on politics to be able to still advocate for your region, I wouldn't do that. Every individual senator and every member of the General Assembly has got to make that decision for themselves. But you have more of an ability when we are identifying these possible design-build projects, and they want an extension to be able to do that, to do it in the short window that's there with more perfect information to be able to authorize that avenue to move forward, than by just doing it in 6 years and probably, more likely than not, this stuff happening in a context where you never get to have that information of, because this design build project leapfrogged over other things, that's why your five-year STIP wasn't funded. And add on to that, there is going to be an ever, ever diminished pot of money that continues to design, that continues to be there to even build new construction. I mean, with the bonds running out, with no real vision of the federal government going to be able to have any kind of highway bill authorization, you're looking at an even smaller pot of money
that's
going to be there to build.
It's even more important because the pot's smaller
now,
than any savings.
It's more important for you, Senator, but what is your bill going to cost my region? That's the question.
Well, I think
because there's ever smaller amounts of money that are there.
I think it could save your region money if you have a project that could be used for design build. You might have three projects in your region.
Three senators on the floor. The senator from the 13th. For what reason do you seek recognition?
Seek unanimous consent to introduce special guests that will be leaving the chamber soon.
Hearing no objections, Senator, proceed.
In the rear upper gallery, we have the Missouri chapter of the American Red Cross. If they would stand and be recognized by the Missouri Senate. Thank you, Mr.
Let's
President.
Let all of our guests feel welcome here as they join us. Senator from Cape.
And I appreciate, Mr. President, I think what many people understand is most of the issues that are here are not Republican-Democrat.
Right.
They are urban rural. And this just happens to be one of those urban rural deals.
Like you had up in the northern state where the bridge collapsed. There could be a bridge near area that collapsed, and all of a sudden we're out of session, and they could save $30 million by doing design build to get it done on the fly. And if they don't have that tool and to do it, then, you know, we'd be costing the taxpayers money. So it's one of those that, we are looking at our commission members to make the best decisions for the state as a whole and each MoDOT region. And I just want to make sure they have this ability to save the taxpayers money. If there is a project that comes along, you know, like you said, we don't have the money now. There probably won't be one. But if something comes along in the next couple of years, that they can move ahead with it.
So that you can leapfrog over my projects in your area.
But it could be something in your area that has to happen if there is
a... Has there ever been a design build project in outstate Missouri?
Well, the 800 Bridge program is part of the design.
Well, but that's a global bid for everything.
Right, but there are bridges in your area that are being funded through that.
Right, but I'm talking a singular project.
Well, I think there's only been two.
Correct.
Other than that.
And where are those?
Well, one was in Kansas City, one was in St. Louis.
Right.
So maybe you guys are next.
I'm not going to hold my breath, Senator.
Well, I want to give your area the opportunity to use design build.
My area.
You got to let me give you
that.
This opportunity.
Yeah, my area won't get
I
that.
Am such a fan of that area of the state. I plan on visiting it a lot, and I want to give them that opportunity.
Senator, I think over the course of after May, you're going to get an opportunity to see a lot more of the state of Missouri. And you're just going to figure out how big this state really is. Because it is a big
state.
And
every time I drive and I see a project, I'm like, that could use design build, I'll text you. When I'm not driving, I will text you.
Yeah, while you're texting and where you're going, I just assume you send me a letter.
Okay. That can be done.
To be able to do all of that. Well, Senator, I do appreciate, I think what we're seeing here, and I appreciate your time, I think what we're seeing here, because this is a long discussion that you and I have had on this Senate floor. And these are type of things that I think is many of our new colleagues are coming in that they're going to have to look at as well on where they are. Because I don't stand here and say that there are not advantageous elements to design build. I've supported all of your legislation in the past. In the past, I've just had more perfect information than I do now. And that's what concerns me.
And I understand your concern.
And each individual senator is going to have to make their own mind up. How much information is enough information to cast a yes or no vote? To me, quite respectfully, Senator, I don't have enough information to cast a yes vote. But I'm not going to hold up your bill, and I'm not going to do anything along those lines. I'm going to be voting no. I think we've been able to articulate that. In the past, when you've come here and done this, I've supported it every time.
Yes, sir.
But at this point, I just don't think we have enough information. I have concerns as an outstate legislator of what this could mean and do. So I appreciate that. I think we've highlighted the issues, and I appreciate your inquiry.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the senior senator from St. Charles adoption motion? The senator from Cole.
Mr. President, to inquire.
The senior senator from St. Charles, do you yield? He does proceed.
Senator, the design-build process is being utilized to save Missourians money in the following manner. The thought concept is that if the MoDOT design community figures out a way to build a project, that might not be the best way. So when you use design-build, what you in essence do is you bring contractors in and say, you know, there's a better way to do this first instead of that. And at the end of the day, it helps you save money. The state of Missouri uses 19 planning partners across the state to pick and verify what projects have the best priority. So your planning partners in your area would pick projects that you think are the best. If those projects then are identified by your planning partners as possibly working for design build, then they would move it forward to MoDOT and say, this is an area we think design build could help us. And that's the tool that you're referring to in your toolbox that will certainly help Missourians save money. And those projects will be identified by members of your community, not necessarily by MoDOT staff or the commission.
Yeah, it's a great point. And you know, each district, they get buy-in on what what projects in their community could be done. And so it's a great point that all areas of the state have the ability to use this and identify your projects. I appreciate you clarifying that.
Thank you, sir.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the senator from the second's adoption motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized.
I close. Opposed.
The senator from the second has moved for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate committee substitute. The senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 133 be ordered, perfected, and printed.
You've heard the motion from the senator of the second. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
Senator from the second renews his motion that Senate Bill 133 with the Senate committee substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of third reading of Senate bills.
Third reading of Senate bills. 38. Senate Bill 38, the senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Bill number 38 be taken up for third read and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 5th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
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 Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate Bill number 38 be read a third time and finally passed.
The senator from the 5th has moved that the bill be read a third time and finally passed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator, do you care to explain your bill?
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the prostate cancer pilot program I spoke of the other day. The idea is to have a pilot program in an urban area and in a rural area to determine the need of men ages 35 to 60 being un or underinsured or potentially at risk for developing prostate cancer. And with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 5th. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
The senator from the 5th renews her motion that Senate Bill 38 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 38, an act relating to the prostate cancer pilot program. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey,
aye.
Dixon, Engler,
aye.
Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany,
aye.
Kehoe,
aye.
Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke,
aye.
Mayer, McKenna,
aye.
Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
The senator from the 24th votes aye. The senator from Polk votes aye. The senator from Phelps votes aye. The senator from the 8th votes aye. The senator from the 7th votes aye. The senator from Johnson votes aye. Senator from the 10th votes aye. Senator from Green votes aye. The senator from Cape. Senator from Cape votes aye. Senator from Howell votes no. By your vote of 32 aye, 1 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show that the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. The Senate Bill 77, Senator from Saline.
I move that Senate Bill 77 be brought before the body for third read and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Saline. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill 77 be third read and finally approved. This is a bill that just adds cultural activities, which would include ag tourism facilities be allowed for temporary signs. Be glad to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Saline. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 13th, for what reason do you seek
to
recognition?
To briefly inquire the senator from Saline. What bill
Senator
are
Senator Saline, do you yield?
I yield 77.
You guys proceed.
77?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was on a different discussion when you brought it up. Okay. Thank you, Senator.
You get an opportunity next time for the other one coming up. I want to talk to you about it too, so.
Senator from Saline, hearing, is any other senator desire to be heard on the senator from Saline's motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Saline renews his motion that Senate Bill 77 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 77, an act relating to directional signs. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 11th votes aye. Senator from the 10th votes aye. Senator from Jefferson. Senator from Jefferson votes aye. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from Christian. Senator from Christian votes aye. Who else? Okay. By your vote of 33 aye, 0 no, the bill has received the constitutional majority it's required and is declared passed. Hearing no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. The Senate Bill 83, the senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you repeat that bill, please?
Senate Bill 83.
Senate Bill 83. Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 83 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Johnson. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 83, it deals with guaranteed asset protection. It is a voluntary program that can be extended to customers primarily when buying vehicles. This is something that's already done in state statute for credit unions and federally chartered banks. Mainly this would extend it to state chartered banks. Be glad to answer any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Johnson that the bill be placed upon its third reading and final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Johnson renews his motion that Senate Bill 83 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 83, an act relating to the sale of deficiency waiver addendums and other similar products in certain loan transactions. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
The senator from the 11th votes aye. Senator from Stoddard votes aye. The senator from the 8th votes aye. Senator from Saline votes aye. By your vote of 32 aye, 0 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. There's no objection. Let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Back on Senate, the calendar of Senate bills for third reading. No, he doesn't. Oh, the senator from Green, for what reason do you seek recognition?
Seek unanimous consent to introduce a special guest.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. On my right and your left on the bench, I'm very pleased to have with us today Dr. Norm Knowlton of Springfield, who is the doctor of the day, an internist for 35 years, and the past president of Missouri Medical Association. Very pleased to have him with us. Earlier, when we were introducing guests, he was actually attending to a patient, apparently, here in the Capitol. So we'd like to make him feel welcome.
Let's make the good doctor here feel welcome in the Missouri Senate. Back on third reading of Senate bills, Senate Bill 166, Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 be brought before the body for third reading.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Lawrence. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 be third read and moved along for final passage. This is the legislation we debated Monday, dealing with the requirement that title agents and agencies have a physical place of business in Missouri. With that, I'd renew my motion.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Lawrence. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Lawrence renews his motion that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, please read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166, an act relating to the licensure of title agencies and title agents. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaaf, Schaefer, Schmidt,
aye.
Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 11th votes aye. Senator from the 10th votes aye. Senator from Cape votes no. Senator from Franklin votes aye. The senator from Clay votes aye. By your vote of 30 aye, 2 no, The bill is received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfecting motions were made and carried. Back on the calendar, Senate Bill 180, the senator from the 8th District.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 180 be taken up for third read and final passage.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 8th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill's before the body.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 180 be read a third time and finally passed.
The senator from the 8th moves that Senate Bill 180 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator, would you like to explain the bill?
Sure. Mr. President, this bill is pretty simple. It just simply states a few days for bike to school and bike to work, week and month. Be glad to answer questions.
Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from St. Francois.
May I inquire?
Do you yield the inquiry, Senator?
I do.
He does.
You say right to work or bike to work?
Bike to work.
Bike to work. Okay. Well, I've been informed that they're nervous about me on this other issue, so we'll talk about bike to work. You know, I'm not going to make a big objection here, but I went off a couple of years ago on our official ice cream dessert, our official bird, our official this, and our official that. I know that this doesn't take up that much time, but I think the perception of the public, Senator, is that we're working.
Senator from the 8th, please face the dais during your inquiry. Proceed, Senator.
Senator, you got to have that quarter turn. I'm not going to stop this thing. It's just I think that when we're going to have a tough time passing a budget bill and passing a continuing resolution, and we're going to be having a tough time passing any major legislation this year, we're going to be under. Are you any concerned that we're going to be under criticism that we're passing laws to make it an authorized biking week and biking day and biking whatever, biking,
Senator, I think this promotes outlets. Healthy living and lifestyles, which prove to reduce costs on health care, and I think this is a good piece of legislation that doesn't necessarily waste the body's time.
So you're not concerned with the people's perception that working on bike week when we can't get a budget accomplished or continuing or
I believe we're going to get a budget accomplished.
Or right to work.
I think we can manage to get this small bill through today, and it won't take too much time, and we can still do those other things, Senator.
Well, as I said, I'm not going to hold this up. It's just interesting that these are our priorities. Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion from the senator from the 8th? The senior senator from St. Charles, for what reason do you seek recognition?
May I inquire the sponsoring senator?
Do you yield to the inquiry, Senator?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you very much for your inquiry. I just happened to glance at your bill, and this is about walking to school, biking to school, stuff, work, stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
Now, would if I have a rickshaw, would that work as well? Because technically, someone's walking and someone's riding. Would that be covered?
Yes.
And I was it you that came up with the idea to help with, like, in the inner city, some of the homeless problems is by getting a rickshaw and having them take people around the city? Was that your idea to strap a rickshaw on?
That was not my idea.
It wasn't? Okay. I had heard that somewhere. There was Cosmo. That's right.
The Louisiana State bird is the pelican. Did you?
That's correct. Louisiana is the pelican state. You're a great American. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard on this motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I renew my motion.
Senator from the 8th renews his motion that Senate Bill 180 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 180, an act relating to bicycling state holidays. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from Johnson. Votes aye. Senator from Atchison. You are not recorded, Senator. How do you vote? Votes aye. The senator from the 11th. Votes aye. Senator from Jefferson. Your no vote will be switched to an aye vote. Senator from the 4th. Votes aye. Senator from Cape. Votes no. The senator from Saline. Senator from Buchanan. You are recorded as a no. It shall be changed to an aye. Senator from St. Francois. You're recorded as a no, Senator. By your vote of 25 aye, 7 no, the bill has received a constitutional majority and is declared passed. Senator from Jefferson.
Unanimous consent to introduce. No.
We need, Senator, we need to finish the bill.
Oh, my apologies.
The senator from the 8th moves that the title be agreed to. Those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it.
Mr. President, I move that the vote by which the bill passed is reconsidered.
You've heard the motion from the senator from the 8th. All those, senator from the 23rd.
I move that motion lay on the table.
It shall be done. Heard on the latter motion, all these opinion the motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it, the ayes do have it. The senator from Jefferson. All right. Senate Bill 101. All right, strike that. The senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I request unanimous consent to introduce special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
On my left and your right is my wife of 40 years, will be 41 June 19th. Please make her feel welcome, and you might also extend your sympathies to her as well. Thank you.
Let's make the guest feel very welcome as she joins us here. Lovely wife. Back on the calendar, Senate Bill 101, the senator from Polk.
Bill number 101 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
The motion from the senator from Polk. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill was heard yesterday on the floor. Senate Bill 101 has to do with a time period where homeowners that have been involved in a catastrophic storms or hail damage, where somebody comes in from outside of the state or somebody within the state trying to take advantage of them, and they would sign a contract. Basically, what would happen once they maybe got their insurance claim back and there was a difference, it would give them a time frame to get out of the contract they signed at the moment on that. And, Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 101 be read a third time and finally passed.
You've heard the motion from the senator from Polk. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you are recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator from Polk renews his motion that Senate Bill 101 be read a third time and placed upon its final passage. Secretary, read the bill and call the roll.
Senate Bill 101, an act relating to home exterior contractors. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt,
aye.
Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
Senator from the 11th votes aye. Senator from St. Francis votes aye. Senator from the 10th. Senator from the 10th votes aye. Senator from Cole votes aye. Senator from the 13th votes aye. By your vote of 31 ayes, 0 no, the bill having received a constitutional majority is declared passed. If there's no objection, let the journal show the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from the 23rd. Oh, Senator from Cape.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request unanimous consent for the introduction of special guests.
Hearing no objection, Senator, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your left and my right in the upper gallery, they just came in, is a group of ninth graders from St. Vincent's de Paul in Perryville, Missouri. They got up quite early this morning and rode a bus all the way up here to see government in action. They've already been to the house. We've been to the grand staircase. They'll go to lunch and get to see other sites around Jeff City here today. But I would hope my colleagues would welcome them to our state capitol.
Let's make the guests of the Senator from Cape Girardeau feel very welcome as they join us here today in the Missouri Senate. Senator from the 23rd.
Jim, are you ready? You've taken up the UI bill. You've got an amendment pending.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
House bills on third reading. Senate bill, or House bill 160. The Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill 163 with an amendment pending be taken up for consideration.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Johnson. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. The Senator from the 1st has the pending amendment. Senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, could I inquire of the Senator from Stoddard?
Senator from Stoddard is not in the chamber. He shall be summoned by
Thank
the Sergeant-at-Arms.
Mr. President, did you call?
Senator, do you yield to an inquiry from the Senator from the 1st?
Most certainly.
He does. Proceed.
Hello, Senator.
Hey, Senator.
How are you this morning?
Doing well. Did you do well last night?
Actually, I was home quickly. Yeah, back in the office doing work.
Cashed out and went home, huh?
And I think that it shows how pitiful my skills are. You asked a couple questions yesterday that I didn't have the answer to as far as what other states are doing, as far as this extension. of unemployment.
Yeah, I don't know if I asked that question, but go ahead. I'd like to know what other states are doing this.
Yeah, maybe you asked, you're right. I wrote it down here. You asked me whether or not there might be individuals that could benefit from these extensions. And
legitimately or justly.
And I think that the scope of my answer was that that I didn't think that our state should continue to be a willing accomplice in the overspending, you know, of our federal government. And I think to a certain degree you agree.
Oh, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
I'm not sure this is the right way to take care of it, but I'm open. I'm open to for suggestions.
Okay. And again, you know, my concerns are, you know, for those seniors in my district that are living on a fixed income and have a retirement that they're counting on to, you know, get them through their senior years, and that young family that lives two doors down from me on Ann Lynn Court that have two young children that
are working and paying their taxes. That's why I put forth a pro-job creation agenda this session, as well as this whole Senate body.
Right, and we're anxious to get to those bills. I just did some research after our discussion yesterday. And this is from the Congressional Budget Office's website. The CBO projects that only 38% of the $7 billion program for unemployment extension will be spent because many of the states are reluctant to change their unemployment benefit eligibility rules to qualify. Now, I know that we don't have to change any of our rules as far as this extension, but you remember a couple of years ago, you remember that, Senator? That money for that extension, we would have had to change our rules, and this body, this General Assembly, said no to the federal government.
Okay, now hold up before you get going very, very far. And this is you inquired of me.
I did. I'm going to share some information.
I was just curious. What was the percentage again? What was that figure you just threw out? Something about 38% or 31%?
They project that only 38% of the $7 billion program for unemployment extension will be spent.
Okay, now why is that? Why is only 38% going to be spent?
Because
they don't administratively get it distributed? I mean, is it they're refusing it, or why is that number 38%?
Great question. It actually says that the reason is because many of the states would have to change their eligibility requirements
And I guess we've already changed ours.
No, actually, we refused.
Last year?
No, 2 years ago we refused to change. I don't know if it was 2 years ago. We refused to change ours and didn't take it.
Okay.
Right?
Senator, hearing no objection, the chair would like to introduce some special guests that are here with us today. Off to the right with us today, the parents of my very able and capable chief of staff is Dr. Robert and Jane Fury. They are great people and live in Webster Groves in my district, and would ask that the Senate make them feel welcome as they join us here today. Back to the inquiry.
So the states, many of these states, I don't know the reason, to the state as far as why they're rejecting, but let me just share with you and to the other members. Rick Perry of the state of Texas rejected $555 million in extended benefits. The state of Alaska, Sarah Palin, and their state rejected $288 million.
That oil must be flowing in both those states.
Must be.
Oil prices going up, and
Bob Riley,
the gallon prices are higher, and probably more revenue coming into those states, I would imagine.
Bob Riley of Alabama rejected $66 million. Haley Barber of Mississippi rejected $50 million. Bobby Jindal of Louisiana vetoed, what the legislature passed.
So is this the same money that we're talking about today?
Money.
You're certain that this is the same money, it's not some different type of unemployment insurance program?
It says for the unemployment extension. That's what we're talking about here. So, unless there was another different one. And you know what, Senator?
Even so if there was what happened to the money? They sent it back, so what happened to it? Do you know?
I don't know.
Did it go to budget deficit reduction?
Well,
I hope so.
I would hope so.
I'm for that 100%.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
I think you and I need to go to Washington, don't we?
Yeah. Virginia, as a General Assembly.
Don't seem too convicted about that. Okay.
Yeah. Virginia's General Assembly rejected $125 million. Wyoming's House rejected.
Are you totaling that up as you talk to me?
I'm not.
I'd like to know what the gross amount is.
Yeah. Governor Riley from Alabama continues to reject $100 million. for unemployment benefits. Florida rejected $444 million for jobless aid and unemployment benefits.
I guess when you've got a right-to-work law, you don't have nearly as much unemployment, do you?
Yeah. The it seems to me there are examples
of leaders. Seems like that's pretty true.
There are examples of leaders, Senator, in other states that have said no to the federal government, had said no to their overspending.
Oh, I don't doubt they're heading. I want to know, where'd the money go? Did they use it to reduce the deficit?
Well, you would hope so.
I don't know about hoping. Yeah, I hope. But, I mean, you tell me, is that what happened to it, or did it go to other states?
You know, a good friend of mine that served with us over in the House.
Do you know?
You remember Carl Bearden? Do I know where the money? I said yesterday I would hope that our leaders would be fiscally accountable to the people, and they'd use that to reduce the $1.6 trillion.
I'm with you, 100%.
Right?
I'm with you, 100%.
Right. So, you know,
I'd hope they'd be like Missouri,
right.
and come forward with a balanced budget.
Right.
In fact, I would be supportive if you want to offer a resolution here, and we'll send it to Washington, asking that they come forth with a balanced budget amendment like President Reagan did back in the early 80s.
I'd be happy to work with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. You know, our good friend Carl Bearden used to have a sign on his desk. I don't know if you remember that.
I used to have something about what's always popular is not always right, and what's right's not always popular.
And that's I think the stance that we're going to take in this body this year, that say, you know what, we're not going to be a willing accomplice, in your thievery, you know, that you're stealing from the American people, you're stealing from the next generation. We're not going to be complicit in that theft.
Right.
All right.
You're preaching to the choir, Senator.
I'm sorry?
You're preaching to the choir.
I know I am. Well, I just wanted to get that information to you, Senator, because I thought, you know, I didn't have an answer yesterday as far as...
And I appreciate that. I really do, because I tend to be a little bit detailed-oriented, and I think that any time that we do something here in this body, it has an impact not only on a handful of people, but nearly 5.9 million people here in the state of Missouri. So I tend to be a little bit, since I've been here in this body, more deliberative, more detail-oriented, and I want to know that what we send out of this body is good work, good quality work, and we know to a great extent what we're doing. And I know you work hard, and I'm not inferring that you don't, so I appreciate you gathering that information and letting me know, because obviously there are other states that are sending back a great deal of federal money. So thank you for your research.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the First.
Could I inquire the Senator from Johnson?
The Senator from Johnson, do you yield to the inquiry?
I do.
He does.
Do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I've got some information about that last interchange you have, if you want to talk about that.
Well, that'd be great. Okay. And then I'll hold this. So I'll hold off some questions I had for you. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've got some information for me?
Yeah, that was not the exact same program that you're referring to. And so when you were talking about those...
Was that a different extension?
It was not the same program. It's not the one that we're debating today.
You're saying the states actually rejected monies that were on a different extension?
Well, the state of Missouri had to make some accommodations. We had to make some changes. We did, and because of that, we didn't qualify for the federal program, so we weren't even eligible for that. So it is not the same extended unemployment benefits that we're talking about right now.
Is this probably, Senator, when they extended it from, 50-something weeks to 79 weeks? You think it was on that extension?
Yeah. It could have been.
So those states took a stand even before the extension to 99 weeks, is what you're telling me.
I'm not saying that. It's just that there were certain requirements in the different programs that were there. There are four different tiers that had different requirements at different times to sign in.
Yeah, this is from the Congressional Budget Office, and it says for unemployment extension. So it might have been a different extension, is what you're saying.
It could have been.
Yeah.
It's not the 20-week.
But it's for unemployment benefits, and it was an extension of those benefits.
You could say that, but it's not the 20 weeks that we're talking about right now.
Okay.
And to my knowledge, Senator, no states are turning back this money right now that we're talking about.
Okay. We would be the first.
I would believe
We would actually be leading in this area. We'd
be
leading. All right. Okay. Well, that's good information to have, Senator. I got a question for you.
Sure.
You mentioned yesterday that this what we're trying to do here, this extension, wouldn't affect any businesses in our state. Is that what you said?
The first 26 weeks
right.
that we have, that is when we have the business tax to pay for our unemployment. And so this would not affect that whatsoever.
Okay, what about the state of Missouri, cities and county governments, those that churches and those that don't pay into or draw from the fund? Does it affect those businesses, this extension?
Not that I'm aware of.
Now, well, I think we better check into that, Senator, because the information that I've been given says that it would. It would affect those businesses.
To the tune of what? I mean...
Well, here, I got some information. We haven't got the numbers for Missouri yet, but in the state of Maryland, it cost an estimated $7 million for the state and $12 million for counties across the state of Maryland. So I don't know what it's going to cost the state of Missouri, what kind of fiscal note that this bill has on it, or what it's going to cost the 114 counties and their governments across the state, but I think that we better find out the answer to that. Do we have the answer to that, Senator?
That's the first that I've heard of that, Senator.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't speak to that right now. So,
okay.
The again, the unemployment program that we have right now is the first 26 weeks that the Missouri employers pay into that for unemployment. The rest of the tiers are paid by the federal government. This is also, this last 20 weeks is paid for by the federal government. Missouri does not have to pay anything for that. It's the $81 million that will be coming to our state in unemployment benefits that those folks and the communities that they represent will be the beneficiaries.
Right. The information I have, Senator, is and those that I just addressed, the state, the counties, the cities, and then like churches, they're self-insured and they're known as reimbursable employers. Are you familiar with that term?
I'm not.
Okay. Well, I think that's an interesting, you know, development, you know, as far as this is concerned and how this is going to affect those entities.
I would assume, you know, we've done this the last 2 years. We extended the unemployment benefits for the last 2 years. This issue has not been brought up before. And I'm not saying that that's inaccurate, but it has not been an issue that has been brought up before. So
okay.
it's a very, very similar program to what's been done the last 2 years, which passed, again, in this chamber unanimously.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st.
Could I inquire the senator from the 26th?
The senator from Franklin is not in the chamber. He shall be summoned by the sergeant-at-arms.
You want to talk? Mr. President.
Senator from the 1st.
Could I change my inquiry to the senator from Howell?
You have the floor, Senator. The senator from Howell, do you yield to the inquiry?
I yield.
He does proceed.
Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And, you know, it's I understand what you're doing here, but, you know, you have to begin thinking you are operating under the idea that the federal government actually wants to at some time balance a budget and begin paying off debt. Because that's what the rest of us do, you know, in our households every day. We have to watch our income, we watch our costs going up, and at some point you have to balance a budget. And this whole idea, you know, and I know what you're trying to do, because you're wanting to do your part on trying to attempt to get the federal government to balance their books. Well, in a real world, you and I, you know, I still believe that way, that you should balance your books. But when you come to the point of realization that the federal government has no desire to balance the books, that their desire is now to monetize the debt. So, you know, what we're doing here is kind of like drinking beer with an alcoholic. And we have one beer left, and we give it back to him to put it back in the refrigerator. He's not going to put it back in the refrigerator. He's going to drink it. Because their desire is not to balance. It's to monetize the debt. And until you go past that and start remembering that and preparing people that we're never going to balance a budget. We're never going to pay off this debt. It's impossible to pay off this debt. It is impossible for us to ever get it under control. So the only thing left is monetization of the debt, and that's what you're seeing right now. So, you know, states can, you know, they can make a valiant effort, but you have to be in partnership with someone that actually wants to balance their budget, and they don't, because monetization of the debt is easier than actually taking the steps needed to stop spending. You know, it's amazing. You know the TARP program bailed out the banks? Guess who's on the hook now? That's you and I, and we're going to pay through high inflationary costs and begin the part of monetizing the debt. The people that didn't cause it are the ones that's going to end up paying the price for it, because people on fixed income with inflation going up, you know, when you start begin monetizing the debt, it increases inflation, and that is going to kill your purchasing power. So the average people are going to be hurt the worst by this. But what we have to figure out, and I think what you begin realizing as a state, do we continue fighting on ground that's already lost, or do we begin looking at the future and trying to prepare the state of Missouri for future endeavors rather than trying to stop an alcoholic from drinking that refuses to acknowledge that they have a problem?
Yes, Senator, first of all, you know, we usually agree on everything and or pretty much everything, and I think we agree on this. I have no confidence in Washington, D.C. at all, and of our representatives up that we've sent to Washington, D.C. to do the right thing. You know, the senator from Stoddard said, are you sure that they're going to use this money to bring down the deficit? And I'm not sure. But, you know, Senator, what I do have confidence in and what I've seen over the last couple of years are the people of this country are waking up. The people are finding out that government is too big and that what government is doing is going to affect their lives today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and the lives of their children and grandchildren. You know, Senator, I'm sure you've heard this before, and I want to get your take on it. This is from a book called Taking Back America, and this is interesting. Listen to this. It says, the average age of the world's civilizations has been 200 years. Civilizations and empires tend to go through the process of this sequence, say historians. Listen to this, Senator. This is the sequence. From bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back into bondage. America is more than two centuries old, and the question here is, Senator, where do you think we are as a nation in this sequence? Where do you think we are, Senator?
Well, I'm just looking at, you know, we all know where we're at, but I'm looking at this from an economic standpoint. You know, I know what you're trying to do, and I admire your desire to do it. You know, I like to fight the enemy on ground I can win on. And this one here is not sending alcohol back to an alcoholic doesn't fix our problems fundamentally here. You know, we can make a statement, but we have to have an end game on what we're going to do to win. Now, you know, you sit and listen, you know, Bernanke talked yesterday to Congress. In my opinion, Bernanke, he's an arsonist, and we keep giving him matches. Right. Because what he says is he's going to continue to print money, which is monetizing the debt, as long as unemployment stays high. And the fact is that printing money is creating unemployment, because you lose faith in businesses of being able to hire and pay for things in a high inflationary period.
Right, no certainty. The businesses have no certainty, right?
So whether we like it or not, we're stuck with what we've got right now. Now, does that, you know, and I know what the facts and figures are. 90% of people on unemployment don't look for work until their last two checks. You know, that's human nature. But I also know what the long-term employment picture is, And what we're doing is we're living in an inflated bubble that's going to pop. Now, will we be here next year trying to debate this and extend unemployment benefits for 4 years? Probably, because our fiscal policy is not going to work. Inflation, what was odd the other day, Bernanke said there's no inflation to the core. And he expects for the next 3 years there to be no inflation to the core. But part of the core is they don't figure in fuel and food prices into that core. Now, have you stopped by the gas station on your way up here?
Yeah, that's just absurd.
Do you think
it?
That inflation is running 2%?
No.
So, while we have a bunch of arsonists running our Federal Reserve System, it's going to be very tough for our states to even attempt to begin the process of slowing this down or looking at it. So I commend you for what you're doing, because I'm right there with you. I'm not going to vote for this, because I think we have to send a message. But I think we also send a message by I was encouraged by the Republican Congress coming in that if there was hope for us to turn this around and stop the spending, they're going to have to shut the thing down. They're going to have to shut the government down, because there is no such thing as a soft landing when you're in this predicament that we're in. And to continue, today they did a $4 billion cut to keep the government going a little bit longer. Do you know how much that cut was to the money that we borrowed? We're borrowing 40 cents for every dollar we're spending. So out of that borrowed money, if you look at terms of a $100 bill, we cut 44 cents out of a $100 bill of $1.5 trillion that we borrowed. That's not what our budget is. That's how much we had to borrow for this year's budget just to keep alive. So, I thought that the Congress had an opportunity to do a message by shutting this thing down, beginning the hard choices of balancing a budget. But what I've seen is that we're going to continue to borrow. We're going to continue to go, because there is no intention of ever paying this debt off, but they're going to monetize it, which is going to hurt every working family in this state, regardless of what is happening. It's going to lead to high inflation, higher food prices, everything that we do, because government doesn't want to make those tough choices that we have to make here every day. So maybe we could begin the process of saying no to this. And I'm going to vote no on it, but I'm not going to hold it up. But, this will be a fight that we have to fight all the time. But you have to realize we have to fight from the idea that they'll never balance a budget, because they don't intend to, they don't want to, and operate our state policies on the idea that we have to learn to live in a monetization of debt through high inflation and higher costs. So that's where our battleground is going to be for the next few years. We can continue to fight this. We're going to send it back to you, but it's not going to do any good, because it's printed money anyway. So until we get, if you want to fix it, you go back to gold standard, where money is actually based on value. And the reason they didn't go to they got off the gold standards, they said, because it was too volatile. Well, what have we got now in the markets but volatility? But, there's the fact is, they said there's not enough gold out there. But, I'd work for a dollar an hour if the purchasing power of that dollar meant something. And that's what's happening now, is the dollar means nothing because it's based on nothing. You could work for, the dollar's lost 95% of its purchasing power. I'd work for a dollar an hour if gas was 10 cents a gallon and food cost me 10 cents, because it would make the dollar worth something, and prices would fluctuate to that. So those are ideas that we need to get back to some basics on. We can continue to beat out brush fires, which that's what we do as states right now when we refuse to get back to the core problem of what we're doing, and it's because our monetary policy is based on people who don't know basic economics. So I admire you. Continue to fight. But let's make sure we're fighting from the ground that what is happening, not let's fight from the idea that we are now in the process of monetizing debt rather than ever relying on Congress to balance the budget, because it'll never happen. Those days are over until we stop and realize that what we're doing won't work. And
Senator,
that'll be a few years down the road.
I appreciate it, and I agree that this battle will be waged on many fronts, that this isn't the only front. I think that we'll be experiencing a lot of those battles in this chamber this session. And I think a lot of our colleagues will be sending a very distinct and clear message to those in Washington, D.C., and whether they choose to hear the message from the states or not doesn't discount our responsibility to send the message. So I have faith in the American people that they are waking up. And the only way that this message is going to be heard is if we talk about it, if we wage these battles, if we fight these fights. Those guys over there at that table, are feverishly, writing about us sending money back to the federal government, right?
I totally agree. I have faith in the American people. I don't have any faith in the elected leaders of this country and the fiscal policy.
Neither do I, Senator.
Like I talked about, our Federal Reserve is headed by an arsonist, and we keep giving him matches because it's not working. So I'm with you all the way. I'm going to, vote no on this and stick my tongue out at the federal government and begin the process of trying to figure out a way that we get out of this mess. So
Thank you,
for the inquiry.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator from the First.
Could I inquire the Senator from the Eighth?
The Senator from the Eighth District, do you yield to the inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Morning, Senator.
Morning, Senator.
How are you on this beautiful day?
I am fabulous. Do you realize
did you hear my little reading out of Taking Back America?
I didn't hear it all, no.
You didn't?
Hmm.
You want me to read it again?
Yes.
I guess I could
wait. Summarize.
Yeah, I might go back to the beginning of the book at some time, but it says that the average age of the world civilizations has been 200 years, and that civilizations and empires tend to go through this process, all right? It's from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, and from dependence back again to bondage. So my question to the Senator from Howell, and I never got an answer, where do you think we are on that timeline as a nation?
I think we're reaching towards the end.
From apathy to dependence? We certainly are in that, or maybe a little bit past
that. A little bit further, probably.
So we're kind of in between that and dependence back into bondage. How would you describe bondage? I mean, what would be an example, maybe, of bondage? Well, the Senator from the Fourth, look where his mind goes.
in the instance of talking about a nation is, where are our debts?
Debt.
Where do we have to go to get relieved?
Your mind's not in the gutter, Senator.
No, where do we need to go to get relieved of the situation that we're handed? Right now, our national deficit is growing. In fact, it's at $14.19 trillion. Do you know that every 15 minutes, we over 43 million growth on our national deficit?
Every 15 minutes,
every
what?
43 million.
Senator, look up in the upper chamber. We have some school children in the orange shirts. I don't know where they're from. Hi. I wonder if they heard that every 15 minutes, our nation goes $43 million further into debt. Further, every 15 minutes.
After 30, it's $86 million, and then after an hour, it's $172 million. Dollars further into debt. That's their money, and they're children's money.
Exactly.
That, I mean, there's like the gentleman.
Senator from the 8th, this is the second time you've been warned to face the dais. Please face the dais during your inquiry.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Mr. President. I like to face the people that I'm actually talking with, but I get your point.
That is not allowed in the Missouri Senate, Senator.
I understand there, Mr. President. I appreciate the correction. But the senator from the 33rd District mentioned earlier about the federal government. Where were we anyways?
You're doing fine, Senator.
But I got sidetracked on where
I was. Just take your time. We've got all day.
That's
matter of fact, we got till tomorrow, too.
That's,
we might even stay through the weekend.
I can understand that. moving on. Right now, in the federal spending on unemployment compensation for this year, 2011, is projected to be $129 billion on unemployment.
I'm sorry, Senator. Hold it. Slow down there. So give me that number again, because I was a little
$129 billion is what our projected expenditure on unemployment benefits is going to be at the federal level.
So at the federal level. So the federal government sends that to the states, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And where do they get that money?
Well, Senator, I think you realize that we're borrowing a lot of that from China, and we're printing money that
right.
we don't necessarily
because we've,
have.
Because, Senator, we've blown through the $2.5 trillion that we've actually collected this year in taxes, right?
That's correct.
Right. We've blown through that money. So this is all borrowed money, and we're borrowing it from China, right? And we're borrowing it and piling this debt up from the next generation.
Right, and on our kids and our grandkids.
Right,
and
we're doing this because you know, they'll never be able to live the lifestyle, you know, that you, our generation or our parents or our grandparents, right? Because of this crippling debt that we're piling up, it affects their standard of living.
Right.
As a senator for Howell was addressing.
If you were into this kind of debt, you would have to file bankruptcy.
Exactly.
And that would destroy our country.
Because so I don't have a printing machine, right?
And that's right.
Or the banks would have cut me off long ago, right? If I lived over my means, if I didn't live within my budget, right?
Absolutely.
But we have a federal government that is now spending $1.6 trillion more than they've taken in, and they continue to send it to the states. And we hear our colleagues in this body that say, well, everybody else is doing it. What did your mother, ever tell you, you know, if everybody else was jumping off a bridge, you know, would you jump off the bridge too?
I've been asked that many times when I was a young gentleman.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in following the leader. I believe that we need to set our own path. And we in the state of Missouri need to say, sometimes, we need to say no. We need to say no to this.
Three senators on the floor. The senator from Johnson.
I'd like to seek unanimous consent to introduce a special group.
Hearing no objections, Senator, proceed.
I'm sorry to interrupt the debate, but I'm sure the elementary school from Harrisonville, Missouri, has enjoyed this lively debate. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Harrisonville Elementary School. That we have lots of students. You probably can see them in the orange shirts. So anyway, we're glad to have the Harrisonville Elementary School. They do not work for MoDOT. They are elementary school students. And we are glad to have them here. So if they would please stand up.
Let's make the guests of the senator from Johnson feel welcome as they join us here today in the Missouri Senate.
So, Senator, now instead of when we talk about spending the money of the next generation of our children and the next generation of children, we have some students here, some children from Harrison. Was it Harrison?
Harrisonville. Just south of the 8th Senatorial District.
Close to your district.
That's not too far.
Right, so now we can kind of put a face on who we're talking about.
What money? Whose money we're spending.
Whose money we're spending, right. And it's actually the federal government spending that money.
That's right.
And sending it to the states. I just don't want the state to be a willing accomplice.
We're going to be a part of that if we pass this legislation to extend these benefits another to 99 weeks. I mean, like 79 weeks isn't long enough.
Right. And I think we have a responsibility to those children and to our constituents to live within our means.
Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned your family budget, you know, and how you have to live within your means. We as a state, we have a constitutional amendment in our Constitution that says, or a provision in our Constitution, that says you will balance your budget.
Okay? We can't live beyond our means. Okay?
It's a great amendment.
Don't you wish we had that, the federal government?
Absolutely.
I mean,
they should have to live within their means, just like each state pretty much.
You know
has
what
to.
Would happen, Senator, if our federal government lived within their means and balanced their budget?
No.
You know,
Senator,
we talk about job creation in this chamber almost every day. If the federal government lived within its means and quit taking from this generation and the next generation and the generation after that, our economy would explode. The job creation, no one in this global economy could compete with us if we just live within our means. You know? Why don't we give that a try for a change? Instead of continuing to dig our way out of a hole, we continue to dig and dig and dig.
We think we can print money and buy ourselves out of this hole that we're in.
And what that's doing, Senator, is we're continuing to dig. And I really believe that these bozos in Washington, D.C., actually want to dig their way all the way to China, because they've got a lot going on with China for some reason. This, I think, a very perverse relationship with China. We continue to borrow more and more money from them, and one day they're going to turn off the spigot, and they're going to say it's time to pay the piper. All right? And then we're going to see hyperinflation like this nation has never seen before, until we do something about it. The senator from Nottoway says buy silver and gold. That's probably good advice.
I would think so.
Do you have some other interesting numbers?
I do. Back in 2005 and 2007, unemployment benefits were around $31 million to $33 billion, and now it's already 100. What I say, 100. This year it's going to be $129 billion. So the growth was over $100 billion in the time period there. That's pretty significant inflation there.
Yeah, it's staggering. It's staggering. And you know what? We talked about it yesterday when we were on this bill. It's not about not having a safety net for our constituents. I think that is a proper function of good government. The idea that you have the ability to have a safety net for those that are going through rough times, right?
Right.
In the state, we have this responsibility of 26 weeks. And 26 weeks is half a year, Senator, right? 6 months. Somebody can get, you know,
right,
these benefits.
But
right?
We're not even talking about limiting it to that. We're talking about 79 weeks, which is well over a year.
Yeah.
Senator.
Currently it's 79 weeks, right?
Correct.
And this extension would make it 99 weeks. Almost 2 years of receiving benefits, okay? And you know what, quite frankly? You know, I feel confident that I can look in the face of my constituents and say that it's not right for you to take from your neighbor for 2 years. Because that's what's happening, okay? It doesn't come, these aren't pennies falling from heaven, Senator, all right? They have to come from somewhere. And I really want to ask the people of Missouri, is 99 weeks too long?
Do you know, I think that there's some studies out there that prove that the longer you're on unemployment, the less marketable you are.
That's correct.
Have you ever hired anybody before?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
On those
resumes, I'd like to do maybe an independent survey of the entire Senate and talk to each senator and find out if they have hired people and looked at gaps in resumes. And maybe if there's not a good explanation for that gap, there's a reason that you might not want to hire somebody. Maybe they don't want to work. And do you want to hire somebody that may not want to work? And if you're off unemployment for unemployed for 99 weeks, that kind of sends me a signal as a person that potentially may hire somebody that you're not really interested in working. Because there's probably jobs out there. They may not be the jobs that we want or the caliber that pay what we would like, but there are jobs nonetheless that you probably could get.
Yeah.
And you mentioned in appropriations the other day that there was a employer in your area that...
Two employers. Yeah.
Two employers that are having difficult time trying to find people that are willing to work.
And the interesting thing about it is they're going back to people that have worked for them in the past. All right? They're going back and maybe because...
Three senators on the floor. The senator from Johnson.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I ask that this bill be laid over.
The bill shall be laid
Thank
over.
You.
With the amendment pending. The senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Announcements. The senator from Johnson was on his feet first.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would like to introduce that your Committee on Education will meet promptly at 1:30 in the Senate Lounge. We will start with an executive session, so we need to have everyone there, 1:30 education. Thank you.
Senator from Lewis.
Yes, Mr. President. Your Committee on Agriculture, Food Production, and Outdoor Resources will be meeting at 12 o'clock or as soon as I get there.
Further announcements? Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Move that the Senate stand in recess until 3 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from the 23rd. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate is in recess.